So thankful for Jim and all that he's done and his faithfulness in this house. Just thank you, Jim, for everything that you do, Jim.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Wherever God's presence is, there he is in the midst of us. Or we have to, in the praise and worship, I was just, I don't know, Jake had a card that we were going to preach on, and I was going to preach on walking in the Spirit. You know, and being baptized, you know, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit about, I don't know, 5-6 months after I gave my heart to the Lord. And I just quite didn't know what that meant. You know, I being baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know, was something new to us. We had went to church most of our lives, and we heard about you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That was as much as I knew about the Holy Spirit, having them in our lives. And yet that's what Jesus came and died for. He said, I must go that I might send a comforter back onto you, you know, and send the Holy Spirit into our lives. You know, and there's been so much controversy since we were young Christians. And at that time, there was so much controversy about being baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it tells us in Jude, it says that we should be built up in our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, that we build ourselves up in the Holy Ghost, or by praying in the Holy Spirit. And God gave us a language to pray that connects us with Him. And yet the argument was is that if we did it in church, it'd be better that we speak 5 words in prophecy that people would understand than to speak 1,000 words in an unknown tongue that no one, you know, only edifies me. You know, but I started to find out that being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in that unknown language that God gave to me, it started to build me up. You know, and it started to give me a, you know, to where I could walk, and it gave me a power in my life to stop the things I was doing, which I was an alcoholic, I was a drug addict before I came to know the Lord. We'd walked in the world all the way, even though that we went to church, I guess we had a little bit of knowledge that we were sinners and that we might pay for what we were doing in the long run. And you know, but God had mercy on us, each one of us. He's had mercy on us, and yet I could, through the power of the anointing of God, I seen a God's hand move in my life a lot more, because I was in a bad place when I gave my heart to Jesus. I really needed Jesus, you know. And I think that as people grow up in the church, a lot of times they don't think they need the things that God has given to us, you know, like to fight a good warfare. You know, I found out that, you know, I entered into warfare when I entered into that spiritual place with God to try to get me. You know, what the enemy wants to do, or the devil wants to do, is he doesn't want to see the kingdom of God come on the earth. You know, so what he wants us to do is back off. You know, that, and, you know, that's what happens in our Christian walk a lot of times, is we back off instead of going forward. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a press in his life that the kingdom of God would live in him. But he's seen that even in himself, we find out that the battle is with ourselves. You know, it says that the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit. They're contrary one to another. So you can't even do what we want. That means we have to deny ourselves. And this is where the problem comes in. No one wants to deny themselves. You know, but yet in the scriptures, it tells us to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Jesus. That's what Jesus, that was his instructions to us, or to his disciples, that we deny ourselves. We deny the way I feel. It's kind of like in our offering, our giving of our tithes and offering, I was, and I still am maybe, I was a kind of a stingy person. So when it came to, I had to learn to give my tithes and offerings. It wasn't easy for me to do that. But in the process of it, you find out that it's not easy to do that, but when it starts coming back to you, when you see what it does in your life, then it, you know, but the beginning of it wasn't, you know, the beginning of it's giving. The end of it is what? Receiving. You know, and we all like to receive. You know, when I worked, I like to receive my paycheck. You know, it was the highlight of my week. Is to receive the paycheck. You know, after I worked, that was the highlight. Sometimes I didn't work because I wanted to work. I did it because I wanted to get paid. I wanted the blessing in my life. You know, and so all of these things had to do with walking in the Spirit. You know, it says that without faith, it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For them that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, in other translations that it says that those that are constantly seeking him. You know, to constantly seek him. But we, you know, I think about we serve God not in our feelings, what feels good. We serve him by faith. We have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah, I like the feeling. I like to be touched by God. I like those types, but still I have to come back to, because it's not all good feelings about serving God. It's all about what I have to self-denial again. I have to deny myself. I have to deny myself. Jesus denied himself and pick up his cross. That's the crucified life that we need to live to walk in the Spirit. We have to what? We have to put to death or silence the voice of self. And we do that by what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. We do that by getting into God's Word and him, his Word telling us how we should live our lives. You know, that you know, his word, you know, we need his word so much in our lives to transform our minds. You know, because I didn't think like God when I came into the kingdom. Now I got baptized in the Holy Ghost 6 months after, and I still didn't think like God. And if I get away from God's word, I still don't think like God. I think that, you know, Jim, you know, I think about me. You know, when I get into the word of God, I start thinking like God. It says that we think on heavenly things. You know, you start thinking about someone else needs help. You know, I think about someone else needs to hear the gospel We got a team in Africa that have been touched by the anointing of God because they went. They heard the voice of God, they went. Now, it wasn't easy. It was costly. But they went because that's what the Word of God tells us to do. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, I think about, going to other other nations. I know that I just came back from southern Texas. And I've been praying for Zapata. I've been praying for a place where we lived for 6.5 years on the border of Mexico. And there's a lot of border activity. There's a lot of politics, a lot of things going on about the border at this time, you know. And so I know that it needs a lot of prayer. I need to, those places need a lot of prayer. Because there's a lot of activity. They say that's what, 500,000 people have been detained in the last 6 months on the border, or since the beginning of the year. That's not even 6 months. 500,000 people contained, you know, and the politics is that they don't want to build nothing to house these people, and it becomes a battleground for our nation. But you think of 500,000 people in 6 months. I think in March they said it was 89,000 people that they contained coming across the border. You know, and you think that, do we have a border problem? You know, but how to handle that? You know, how to handle that in God's eyes? You know, because these are people. Thank you. These are people, and the only thing I can do is pray. You know, your prayer life becomes something, or you start to continually pray for people. We have three people that are seriously health problems in their lives. You know, and see, I have to, I think you have to prepare, there's a preparation in our lives to walk in the Spirit. And it takes time. You know, that's why I said I can't serve God and manna. I can't serve God and manna. I can't do it. I ain't got enough time. You know, and God is calling us to more prayer, I believe. He's calling us to get into our Word. You know, and I think about when I was a young Christian, and I still read the Word every day, but, you know, there was times where I'd spend a whole day. I remember my day off, and I'd spend a whole day in the Word of God and just sitting in His presence. You know, because I started to love the presence of God. If you love God, you got to love His presence. And so there's got to be a press in our lives to get into that place. It just doesn't come automatically. I don't wake up in the Spirit of God. No, I by faith, I press. By faith, I seek God. That was the one thing that Israel, God wanted them to seek Him. But when they got blessed by all the blessings, they just kind of fell away from God and didn't have need for God until they got taken over or something again. Then they had a need to seek the Lord. But we have that need in our lives but to get up every morning, it's kind of like a diet, you know, to get up and to and to stay on that diet, there's a fight. You know, there's the donuts at the donut shop, the potato chips, the, you know, the things that I've never had too much trouble with weight, but I got trouble with cholesterol. You know, and that's a continuously thing that they have to have in your mind. And this is to walk in the Spirit, you got to continually have that in your mind, to walk in the Spirit, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. He said, oh, how do I know if I'm walking in the Spirit? He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness. You know, and he said, against this, there is no law. So we start bearing the fruit of God. The fruit of God. I got love in my life. I got peace in my life. And we know that's not always the case. And that's where the warfare comes in. The warfare is that Paul said that in Ephesians, I'm going to go to Ephesians 6. Starting at the 10th verse, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, therein we shall be able to quench all the furious darts of the wicked. And taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It tells us to be clothed. It tells us to put on the armor of God. They said that Paul was... He was in prison when he was under guard of the Roman soldiers, and they said he had a good look at what they wore to protect themselves. And so he used that as us clothing ourselves. You know, he said the shield was, 3 feet by 4.5 feet. They could get their whole bodies behind that shield. So that protected them. And by faith in God, we can get behind that shield and protect ourselves. But they're all important in our lives. Using the Word of God, prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication. You know, developing a prayer life. You know, we need to develop things in our life. We need to develop a good for the reading of God's word in our lives. You know, I always, you know, when I was a young father when I gave my heart, all the time that I was a Christian, I had children. And at that time, if I didn't get into the word, when they went to bed, I got into the Word of God. You know, because it's so necessary for us to be built up. It's so necessary for us to to be in God's Word. It's so necessary for us to fight a good warfare, and that we fight not only for ourselves, but we fight for our regions. There's powers and principalities of the air that are in our region that need to be cast down. And we do that through prayer. I believe that you fight all your battles in prayer before you even go out to. They're already won in prayer. You know, and that's when we come into righteousness. It said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we come into that place in prayer, that we know that God has already won the victory. See, we have to come to that place of putting every enemy under our feet. Jesus did it. Now he's looking for his people to do it. Is that we put every enemy under our feet. He gave us all the equipment. He gave us the access into the presence of God. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, that we could enter into the very presence of God this morning. And we do that by faith. I don't do that by feeling. You know, it says the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes I don't even feel like praising. But it's a sacrifice. We do it because I believe the Word of God. It tells us to do it. And there's times where the Holy Ghost will touch you and you just feel like you could fly. But there's times that it's not like that. That's why we do it by faith. You know, in the wilderness, I heard a message. I was listening to, I don't know if everybody's heard of John Hagee, but most of us probably have. He had a message. He said that, and it was about Israel, and it was it the promise, the problem, and the provision. You know, and Jesus said that in Israel, they came out of Egypt, was the promise. And the problem was they were out in the wilderness. And they were eating manna. They didn't like the manna. So they started to grumble and complain out in the wilderness. And through that whole generation didn't enter into the promised land because they complained out in the wilderness. You know, it said that you can be like Jesus that went through, when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, he said he went out into the desert place for 40, and he fasted and prayed. But it took him only 40 days to come out through that to the provision. But Israel, most of that generation didn't even get into the promised land. They didn't get the provision. And so he said that whenever there's a promise, there's a problem. He said if there's a $1 million promise, there's going to be a $1 million problem. And we have to have faith and believe and not grumble and complain. You know, I was thinking about, you know, when they were going to Africa, you know, not everybody had to, get their plane tickets and stuff like that. But then they were asked that they would raise $6,000 more for the people that were coming to the, you know, and you start getting kind of complaining in you. You know, I've given, you know. But they got what? They got the $6,000 and the provision, and they said the meetings are really great. People were really touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. So they got the provision. You know, I always think of the glory of God shall be a reward. I always think of that because of one of the trips I made to Mexico years ago. You know, it was a rough trip. You know, it was hot. You know, we went into Mexico in a motorhome, and sometimes it would reach, I think it reached 110, and you know, and you know, a motorhome, it's like an oven when the sun shines out, and we didn't have any air conditioning. And I think it was 11 days. I left here, and I was in Mexico for 7 days, and then I made the drive, which is 1,700 miles one way, to here. And we lived in Brooks at that time, and there was a song that it came out. It says, "Store up your treasures in heaven." And I was wore out, and I opened up the garage door and put my car in, and this song came on the radio. And the glory of God filled that car. And I just sat there and wept. And he said, the glory of God shall be your reward. You know, it came after it. And ever since that, you know, to be touched like that is, you know, I can't put words on other than I know it's there. And I've been touched like that, a few times. But, the sacrifice had been put out there. You know, the trip I'd made, you know, that's why we serve God in the Spirit by faith and not by feeling. We serve Him by faith. We believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. No, we have to believe that. We walk in the Spirit by believing that. I believe that God's with me, that He fills the universe. He said in Isaiah 66:1, He said that heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Who can build a house for me? You know, who could build a house for God? You know, He fills the universe, and Jesus opened up to this universe to us. So wherever we are, if it's in Mexico, Africa, on the road back from Zapata, He's with us. He's there. He's there. He's there. He's with us. We do that by faith. You know, I can feel the presence of God in my life, but there's times where I don't. And that's when I have to have faith, and I continue to walk in faith that God is with me, that He's for me. He said He'll never leave me or forsake me, that He'll always be with me until the ends of the earth. That in every problem, every situation, that He's with me. He goes through it with us. He didn't say that we weren't going to have problems in our lives. He just said He's going to be with us in our lives. He said He'd never leave us or forsake us. See, that's a faith that needs to be built in our lives. And there's a just a preparation in our own personal lives to stay in that place with Him. We do that by faith. I seek Him by faith. I seek Him in His Word by faith. That, you know, it's kind of like Jack Hines told a story about him going through the mountains. They were traveling up in Canada someplace, and they were in a mountainous place. And, you know, we talk about having angels. You know, and when I travel, I pray for angels be around about my vehicle and the to protect me, you know, in our travels and stuff like that. Because when you're traveling, there's a lot of things that can happen. You know, seems like every time I come home, I have something happen that I'm glad that the angels were around this truck, you know. But at that time, he had a motor home, and they had prayed that the angels would come around their motor home. And he said that he knew that the front wheel of his motor home went off the cliff. And he said that the angels of God picked it up and put it back on the road again. You know, and I was pulling a trailer a few years ago back, and I was coming onto the highway, and they have these things on the interstate where you're coming on and they're exiting at the same time. And I was coming on, and the sun had blinded me when I was coming. And, you know, you always think you just can come out and you can look in your mirror and the traffic behind you. But I had a semi that was coming behind me. But he was going, trying to exit. And I was trying to come onto the interstate. And I was fighting against, on my steering wheel, I was fighting. And I must have been fighting an angel that was trying to bring me back to against the rail. And if I would have went out, I would have been hit by the semi. He was going way too fast. He must have been doing 50 miles an hour coming into that exit, you know. And if I would have pulled out, but there's something that held. You know, and I didn't know I had that protection until I had it. You know, I prayed about having angels in my life and around my vehicle, but I didn't know that they were there until they were there and helping me. Sure. You know, and a lot of times, you know, I might not need God all the time in my life, but when I do need him, he's there. And that's a good feeling, is that he's there, he's with you. You know, I did a lot of traveling by myself, and I know that it's really hard for me to get out on the road because of fear tries to take over. And you have to constantly fight against things that, enemies that try to hinder your life. And that's why, you know, we need to be built up. We need to be built up. And that's gives us a chance to walk in the Spirit. You know, I said walking in the Spirit, and it became the church. You know, and that's what makes us the church. It's our connection to God. Our connection to God makes us a church. I went to church all my life, but I was never connected to God. I knew what Jesus did for me. I knew he died for me, but I didn't know that about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know about walking in God and having the Holy Spirit or having the power of God in our lives. That empowered us to live a different life. You know, and so I just encourage you to continue to walk in the Spirit. I know that there's forces in the earth that are trying to stop the supernatural church. There's a lot of supernatural things out there. There's movies, there's all kinds of things that, you know, and they say that. But the one thing that I found that, you know, in the church, What's been fought against was the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Anything supernatural in the church? And yet, they say what, they made some of these movies, and the first weekend they have Star Wars and all these things, the crazy things that they are all supernatural. And they would make $300 million by people going to those movies. You know, I'd listen to, Lindell Ballinger, and he had on the supernatural. And he said it's not, and the supernatural has been so attacked in the church. And it needs to come back into the church. We have to believe that, you know, because God, it says God's a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is a spiritual being. And we become spiritual beings when we walk in the spirit. You know. And so, praise the Lord. I know that he's here to encourage us, to protect us, and he's here. He's with me. He'll never leave me. You know, he's here for his people. And he wants to live in our hearts and our lives. So thank you for listening. Hopefully he'll encourage us to live closer to God. Bless you guys. You're dismissed. If anyone needs prayer, we're here to pray for you. I know that the meetings in Africa sounded like they went really well. And they're on their way back. Should be back tonight, I guess. And the border was... Jake said I should talk about the border. The border was hot. In the temperature, it was over 100 degrees a few of the days I was there. It's uncomfortable again being in Minnesota. But hopefully it's going to warm up. It looks like maybe next week. And no. So, bless you guys. Yeah. Let the love of God fill your hearts and your lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.